Hey, what's going on, Clipper fans, Clipper people, Clipper folks?
Okay, different.
So I like some different things. I don't know. Anyways, it's me, William, the Opinion Updike.
And I am absolutely positively psyched, Chuck Mockler.
And we are Locked On Clippers, part of the Locked On NBA Network.
Hell yeah, dude.
We come at you 5 days a week with all the Clippers news.
As fresh as possible.
The freshest. And we got a heck of a show lined up for you today, obviously. I'm sure your calendars are marked.
I'm jacked up.
It's the day that you're listening to this. The Clippers will be mere hours away from their first game of the second round.
Yeah, 6 p.m. against the Denver Nuggets.
That's right.
I've been just crushing HGH all day to get psyched up for this game.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. So we're going to be previewing that one a little bit. Talk about what we need to do well as, you know, what could go wrong. Get into some key matchups. There's some interesting stuff there.
There's some subplots that will be fun to follow, especially in this kind of feel out maybe game one.
Definitely. And there was some press availability today for Doc Rivers, Kawhi, and Landry Shamet. So we're going to talk about that a little bit. And then wrapping things up with some shavings, we're going to talk about maybe what round two holds for the Lakers, as well as, man, also happy birthday to Marcus Morris.
Yeah, we're recording this on his birthday. He celebrated with having to pay the league $35,000, which we'll talk about. Hope it was a good time, I guess.
Anyways, all that and more coming up right about now.
You are Locked On Clippers, your daily Los Angeles Clippers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Yes, welcome to the Clippers versus Nuggets Game 1 preview. Again, 6 p.m. Unfortunately, no local announcers for this one, which sucks. We got to also give a shout out to Rock Auto. This is a Rock Auto pod.
Rock Auto.
Put Locked On in their How'd You Get Here box so they know that we're giving them some business. Game 1, a lot of people wondering about Patrick Beverley's availability. Doc Rivers said he's pretty sure that he will play in this game. He's definitely going to play in the series, Doc said.
Yes.
But we're not entirely sure about this game one. Where I would like Patrick Beverley to play.
How much are you worried if he's not available game one?
I mean, they got a point guard who's really on one right now. So, like, I'm not worried about the series. I would just like to have him in this game so they don't get any kind of confidence.
What if he's only at 90%?
Then I think we got to maybe hold him out.
I agree. Anyways.
Hurts to say, but I think it's the right thing to do.
That does it for injuries, right? Nothing else really to report.
Only person on the injury report was Pat Bevin. He was questionable instead of doubtful.
Well, with a hopefully full roster,
yeah.
What do we need to do well to win this one?
Ball denial. Ball Ooh. Denial. Ball denial. Ooh. Ball denial. In the seeding game against the Nuggets, which was kind of a weird, like, the rotations were goofy at the end. Like, the Nuggets kind of emptied out the bench.
Yeah, it was unclear. There was kind of like a two-game series. Maybe there was a game in between. But the Nuggets against the Lakers emptied their bench at the end of a somewhat close
They weren't
game,
showing their hands game. At all. Yeah,
yeah they did the same thing against the Clippers. So, not really fully sure what to make of that one.
The one thing I did make of it was Jokic had 13 assists in 28 minutes in that game.
Nice.
Which we have to hold him under. I mean, 9 assists would be ideal.
Yeah, and, I mean,
right? Like, because if he's moving the ball well, their off-ball movement is elite, and we can't stop them from kind of getting to their spots.
Definitely, I totally agree with you. I guess the thing would be to me, if you're keeping Jokic out of the post, where he's going to be the most effective.
Yeah.
And you're forcing them to shoot their way out of this one.
That's true.
I do kind of like that, but I agree with you. You know, obviously, ball denial is going to be huge. Like, creating a lot of turnovers has done really well for us against this Denver team.
Oh, yeah.
In two out of these three matchups, we've had 20-plus points off turnovers.
God damn.
Yeah, like, and we currently have the most efficient transition offense in the league.
And I believe Kawhi is first in the bubble right now in deflections.
Yeah.
Which is boding well for us.
Yeah, for sure. So, I mean, we're a great transition team. It's like 16% of our total possessions. And this is a Nuggets team that's coming out of a brutal Game 7.
Dude, a brutal series. Just a Tasker versus Sen-esque series, if you are very familiar with Hockey 5.
Yeah, so I think that, like, getting this team, you know, running, like, obviously getting those deflections, getting those steals,
yeah,
creating turnovers.
Tire them out.
Is going to be huge as far as, you know, getting a... know, you'd like to see a pretty assertive victory game one.
Yeah, I'm not saying blowout, but a nice, like maybe we're not playing as well as we'd want to see, which might happen given the time off, but we're still up by like 6-8 the whole time.
Yeah.
I'm excited to see kind of how Kawhi, PG, and Morris, you know, kind of help, you know, negate some of Jokic's passing with kind of the free safety-ness that we'll see. And hopefully Bev is out there too, because this is a good team for Bev to get his legs under him with passing coming from the post.
Definitely. And this is going to be like, this is going to be a much different looking defensive scheme in my mind than it was versus the Mavericks. We don't really have to trap.
Yeah.
Like Murray has been good, but like he's a scorer. You know, he's not as big of a threat as a distributor. Obviously Jokic, you know, very gifted passer, best passing big man, I don't know, ever.
Maybe, I don't know.
That's going to change what our defense looks like. So it's going to be key to make sure that guys are in their spots, make sure that everyone is communicating. Especially
that's going to be huge.
If we go back to kind of a switch-heavy thing, which, you know, the Nuggets are going to run a decent amount of pick and roll.
Anyone's looking for Reggie Jackson in the switch on defense also.
Yes. So communication is really going to be huge in this one. I hope there's not too many wrinkles on the defensive end, you know, just because... I don't know. We need to tighten down what we've already got going.
Still working on stuff for sure. We also need to win at the free throw line.
I like this.
This is a great indicator for playing well as always. The Nuggets are shooting 85% from the free throw line in the playoffs, which is number one in the league. Clippers are at 81%. But they're getting to the line 17 times a game in that seven-game series compared to our 27.
So, which is pretty close to what we had in the regular season.
Yeah.
It's in the high 20s, Mark.
So we're handedly beating them, hopefully, in the free throws. And just like that will be huge in kind of that no stress win scenario.
Yes.
Right? Like if PG is going downhill, which we will need because I'm not really sure who guards him if Jeremy Grant's on Kawhi, it'll be nice if we can like get more than 10 free throws attempts because I think we'll be okay.
Yeah.
Not no matter what happens, but that's a big indicator.
That's a good call. So, conversely, what do you think could go wrong in this one?
Sluggishness.
Oof.
It's been an issue.
Oof.
Like,
that's a good call. Yeah, there has been some lackadaisical games that we've seen from this team all season long.
And the Nuggets are coming off of the craziest momentum getter you can get other than being down 3-0.
Yeah, coming back 3-1. I mean, that puts some steam in your sails? I don't know. Whatever goes
in sails. I don't
think
steam.
Wind?
It's wind. You definitely need to listen to Locked On Ships. But Doc mentioned after kind of a rough outing against the Mavs that it's kind of on him to get guys locked in.
Yeah.
And I think with, of course, all what's happened in these last, you know, going to be a week, I'm not too worried about it, but it's something where this is kind of a classic Clippers thing this season of like, we got to come out hot from the gate and not let up the entire time. You can still get a comfortable win while still being intense the whole time.
Agreed. If things start to get a little loose, I'd like to see Doc do the classic Quinn Snyder timeout where you say nothing, you just stare at the team for the entirety of the timeout.
That's a good call.
I think that could get people going. Another thing to look out for is if the Nuggets get hot from three and we are struggling a little bit offensively, we have seen some slow three-point shooting to start some of these games.
The stand around, no ball movement. Things that can happen sometimes.
Yes. And I mean, in typical Clipper fashion, this team has shot better than its season average or better in two of these three games. They've shot better than 40% in two of these three matchups.
That's not good.
However, on the bright note, if we are able to connect, they're allowing the second worst opponent 3-point percentage.
Jesus.
Teams are shooting 42% against against the Nuggets.
We're second
worst in the league.
And we're number one in the bubble right now for three-point shooting, I'm pretty sure.
Yes.
In the playoffs.
Top three.
Yeah, okay.
That could be a huge one. And then the other thing, obviously, is how are we going to handle these post-ups from Jokic? Occasionally, you know, it'll be Plumlee in those second unit minutes. They have the most efficient post-up offense in the league.
You're a fan of. You wish the Clippers would.
I know. they don't run it a whole lot. You know, it's only like 8 total possessions a game. But if they're getting Trez, especially, I think, in some of those minutes, I would expect Malone to run a lot more.
You would think.
But there's also some other kind of stuff about the center matchup, which can just transition us perfectly into our key matchups for this
key
game.
Key matchups. So I do like Trez. I like Plumlee on Trez for the offense in terms of Trez. Like, he kind of murks Plumlee in that regard, mm-hmm. which is good. But Zubats versus Jokic and Doc.
Mm-hmm.
The last matchup in the bubble, again, it was weird. Zu guarded Jokic for 5 minutes, just a hair over. Gave up 3 of 6 shooting, but Jokic took 3 threes in that. So he went 1 of 3 from 3, so it's kind of a weird scenario. But Zu went 4 of 4 on the offensive end against Jokic.
That checks to
That's
me.
Nice.
That checks to me. So, I definitely like to see him be a little bit stronger on the defensive end. Jokic has never shot less than 40% against Zu. Higher in 2 of the 3 games. So, he's going to have his work cut out for him. Like, Jokic is a great post player.
He'll have help, too. I think we're going to see, like, we're not going to trap Jokic, obviously, but we're going to see some shading towards Jokic when he has the ball.
So, an interesting thing to, like, think about or look at is you can kind of almost have a soft practice for how you would defend Anthony Davis off ball.
Oh, good call.
With some of these matchups. I mean, I don't know that they would do that, but, like, you know, you can get a little bit of a look at how you're going to mitigate a big man off ball.
That's a good call.
Another one in this one, like, Jeremy Grant.
He's the stuff of legend against Kawhi.
He has been the best Kawhi stopper all season
long.
In
the league, historically.
Truly. In the most recent game in August, let's see. Kawhi went. Kawhi was 2 of 3 against him in that one. But the other one, I believe, he's like 2 of 9. I mean, it's
Jeremy Grant's had his moments where you're just like,
great stuff.
He's got it. It's like Jordan Harden is just one of those matchups that works for the other team.
Yes, 100%.
But, you know, so Jeremy Grant
held him to 2 of 9 in his longest matchup minutes against Kawhi. Now, part of that is he did take 3 threes through that time.
Yeah.
Which, you know, you could read as an indication of, you know, Grant was keeping him outside. Or, you know, it's kind of earlier in the season, maybe Kawhi's settling
Kawhi was
some
bored.
Shots. Yeah. Because, you know, a lot more of his shot selection obviously comes a little closer to the basket.
Yeah. My thing with this is, like, so this matchup is set up great for PG in terms of a series to really come out of his slump, because he's still in a slump as far as I'm concerned.
And they don't really have the wing defenders to knock down, to like lock up both guys.
No, yeah, they have one who can lock up one of the two.
Maybe,
right, because we haven't seen, you know, like we're still, Kawhi's still ramping up into his thing, PG's still trying to break out. So I'm still like, he's going to probably lock up one of them, quote unquote, like the, you know, the version of locking up Kawhi that you can do. But I'm hoping PG breaks out in this one.
Yeah. And this, I mean, this becomes an even bigger factor if, you know, Jeremy Grant has a great game defensively,
yeah.
but is also able to knock down some of those spot up threes that he takes.
Which against the Clippers, sometimes that happens. Another matchup, Doc versus Malone.
Yes.
You know, this is a series that Doc could quote unquote redeem himself and some of the Clippers fans in terms of X's and O's.
I feel like he a little bit redeemed himself at the end of that first series.
For sure. He just never gets a lot of credit. It's a lot of, you know, when things go bad, it's a lot of blame on Doc. When things go well, Doc doesn't necessarily get a lot of credit. But that's going to depend on rotations. If we can avoid Reggie, Lou, Sham, and Trez, I'll be happy. I'll be very happy if we only see, I mean, I'd love it if we didn't see any of it, but there's a chance we might see some of that. But yeah, we just like, and we got to force the switch onto Michael Porter Jr. as often as possible. We need to play him off the floor immediately.
Which I think will come pretty quickly.
Yes. He cannot guard anybody.
Malone has been really quick to make that adjustment in later games. So, it makes sense.
Yeah. What's your quick prediction for game one, Clips, Nuggets?
God, scoring has been so all over the place, but I'm going to go 116 to, let's say, 110 Clippers. I think it's going to be fairly close. But I'm hoping that it's like, you know, it's within striking distance for Denver, but we have control.
But we're in control. Yeah, exactly. I like that pick. Right now, the Clippers are 8.5-point favorites, which seems a little heavy.
You know, I never bet on the Clippers.
No one ever should. I think Clips gets this one. I think the offense comes out a little slow. Yeah, I think it's like 110, six.
Maybe another electrifying 78 to 80.
Ooh, maybe. I think it'll be a game maybe where we're leading a lot early and then it kind of like peters out or something like that.
Yeah, that's a good call.
Let us know what you think's going to happen at Locked On Clips, at Charles Mockler, at Will Updike. Coming up, we're going to be talking some presser vibes where MPJ was the talk, and Shamit had some good notes on bubble life. But first, Will, auto parts, talk to me.
What are they? Where do they come from? Where do you get them?
I don't know.
I can answer the last one for you.
What?
The only place to get auto parts is rockauto.com. Let me tell you why. They're a family business. They've been serving auto parts customers online for 20 years. And if you go to rockauto.com, you can shop for auto and body parts from hundreds of manufacturers. They got everything you need, whether it's for your classic or daily driver. You can get everything you need in a few easy clicks. Delivered directly to your door. Great thing about rockauto.com is the catalog is unique and it's really easy to navigate. You can see all the parts available for your vehicle and choose the brands, specifications, and prices you prefer. Best of all, speaking of the prices of rockauto.com,
yeah, what's going on?
They're always reliably low.
Oh, and shit.
And they're the same for professionals as do-it-yourselfers. So why pay up to twice as much for the same parts? Go to rockauto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or truck right Locked On in their How Did You Hear About Us box so they know we sent you.
Awesome.
Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need, rockauto.com.
Okay, welcome to Presser Vibes, which is just now apparently a regular segment we do. I like it.
What's the problem?
It's a fun time. No problem.
What's your problem, man?
So MPJ was like kind of the talk of this presser, which was weird. There was two questions about it. They asked Doc on the MPJ draft. Rivers called passing on Michael Porter Jr. a brutal pass.
Yeah, but did cite the medicals.
Yes. They didn't release.
The full reason.
Yeah. The whole issue with the Michael Porter Jr. thing, like, look, now, do I wish we'd taken Michael Porter Jr.? I don't know. He'd be on the Thunder. So,
see, I think that's a good point.
Like, if you're going to revise history in that way, where we take Michael Porter Jr., I still assume that the trade goes down.
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, maybe give up less picks.
Maybe because he hadn't played in a game, the Thunder have less interest, so you keep him. But the thing I'm still struggling with is, I mean, where do you slot him in the forward rotation?
Yeah, right.
Would you rather have him on the floor than Marcus Morris?
No.
Would you rather have him on the floor than Jamichael Green?
No.
So where's this guy getting minutes?
He's beating out Patrick Patterson for the last 2 minutes of a blowout. No, it's just like, and yeah, I mean, I like Doc candidness, being like, yeah, it's a brutal pass now for sure. But
at the time, I mean, what were you supposed to do?
The guy had the same surgery on his back that Steve Kerr had.
Yeah.
As
a much older man.
As a youth.
Yeah.
Like, and also,
didn't look great at Mizzou either. He was hurt there. Anyways, I don't need to make apologies for this franchise. They've done everything. They've done everything they can.
The thing that's tough about Michael Porter Jr. also is like the pressure he's put on himself through just happening to play well.
Yeah.
Is going to carry over next season. And like some players who played well in the bubble aren't going to maybe be the same when basketball comes back if there's like kind of a different environment or something like that. So,
well,
he's a young dude. He's got a lot on his shoulders right now in terms of next season for the Nuggets.
I definitely agree with you. And that's a great point, too. The bubble is a little bit different. And like, you're going to be so much more scouted if you are an offensive factor during the regular season next year.
Yeah. And he has no defense. Doc talked about Ty Lue being a candidate for some coaching jobs. He said, I'm glad he is. He deserves it. It's a joke to me that he's already not a head coach, but it's an advantage for me that he's not. Great Doc call right there.
Yeah, love it.
Where do you think Lue ends up?
I don't know. I kind of don't want him to take the Chicago job.
All the jobs are kind of shitty.
I mean, the Pacers job could be a good job.
Yeah.
If he wants to go back to the East.
East-ish.
Yeah. So I don't know, man.
I kind of want him to take the Bulls job because there's no pressure to do well. You just fired the worst head coach maybe in the history of basketball ever.
I just kind of feel like maybe there is pressure to do well,
though. Well, once they sign AD.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, he obviously deserves to be a head coach. You know, has a ring.
Yeah.
Has a ring, players like him, so it does make sense for him to go on a team.
Good coach.
I would like him to be in a situation, though, where he's going to be able to, A, hopefully stay for a while, and B, thrive. So
yeah. I always want to see Ty Lue thrive. Kawhi spoke about Michael Porter Jr. He said he has a big impact. He can shoot the ball, rebound the ball, bring it up, transition, find guys that are open, create his own shots.
All the basketball things. Wow.
All the basketball stuff. Just as another scorer to the team, he also has some size on him. He can rebound on the offensive end, get some putbacks. That's difficult to guard. Glaring lack of mention of any defensive prowess, which is the issue with MPJ.
100%.
I'm excited for this matchup. I'm a little too excited, I think. Justin Russo at Fly By Night on Twitter. If you're somehow listening to this podcast and not following him, elite basketball analysis.
Yes.
Knows so much more about how things work than we do. He's really confident about this series.
Which I love.
Which I love, but I'm also like, I don't know what's going on. Like, this is new territory. Kawhi also gave the funniest, like, most vague answer as to why the Nuggets are a good basketball team. He said they got a great center in Jokic, Murray as well at the point guard spot, both leading that unit. They play together. They've been together for a while. Just great chemistry. Their will to win.
This is a Magic Johnson tweet.
Yeah, I love this answer from Kawhi. Just like, yeah, they basketball. What do you want me to do?
It's basketball, man. Yeah, I mean, I do think that that's one of those things that the Nuggets definitely have in their back pocket is like this continuity that they've had now.
Yeah.
And, you know, building this team of like good role players. And obviously they did make some changes last offseason, but nothing like a major shakeup.
Yeah.
So I do think that that can be a little bit advantageous, but I don't know. We'll see.
We'll see what happens.
We'll see tonight.
Shamet had some good stuff. He talked about just like kind of being comfortable with whatever role that's thrown at him and owning it, which 100%. I think is exactly what he's done so far.
Yeah, I think that shouldn't come as a surprise to anybody out there. We've seen the way he's been able to adjust.
Yeah.
You know, he's had a little bit of growing pains this season, but overall, man, I'm pretty impressed with what he's been able to do, especially in these playoffs.
He shut me up. A lot of people are like, Shamet's out of the rotation. Like, what can he do? And look, we don't know what's going to happen when Pat Bev comes back.
It's still unclear.
But he's talked about how the bubble's been really good for him, which makes sense. We kind of talked about how Shamet seems like the kind of guy who would thrive in an environment where there's only basketball.
Oh, yeah.
And nothing else. So that's great. Like, he's adapted so well. He's had such a weird career just in terms of, like, you know, you go from the 76ers to the Clippers in a giant trade, and then you're on the scrappy Clippers team. There's another monumental trade while you're on the team where kind of your role is up in the air.
And you've
had ticky-tacky injuries.
You've had some ticky-tacky injuries. You just overperformed your draft stock, I feel like,
so hard in
your first year. And not that he hasn't in this year, too. I mean, he has still been really
solid. But that rookie year, man, like, that was unbelievable for where he was picked.
Yes.
Also, he talked about how he kind of laughed to himself when Kawhi scored 8 possessions in a row. It's a mark of how good Kawhi is that it's just, like, you're just like, wow, this is, I don't know what I'm watching right now, but one man is seemingly destroying all the other men on the court.
Yeah, it's just unstoppable. I don't know. I can't wait to get to see more. Like, this has been, watching him in these playoffs has just been incredible.
He mentioned at the end of games that Kawhi kind of goes to that next level. And it's funny, I think Kawhi's ramping up to just being at that level when games start.
Yes.
You know, like, that's not a knock because, like, he's still got to get ramped up to play out basketball. But, like, dude, he's, when he starts shooting well in the beginning of games, it's going to be even more over for the opposing team.
You think we might see put him away early, Kawhi?
I would love that. I would love to see I'm tired of this round, Kawhi. And Shamet talked about focus, in terms of the defensive things, which is like, that's kind of been a theme of a lot of the Clippers. Like, Doc talked about it after the Mavs stuff. We kind of touched on it. Just being locked in, because, like, the Clippers know what they can do.
Definitely. Definitely.
Doc's driven that home very well to the guys. Shamet said that the Nuggets compared to Mavs, the Nuggets move a little bit more off the ball and have more intricate actions, which I think makes sense. You can't rely on the distribution like we talked about of a Luka.
Yeah.
Or something like that.
Yeah, for sure.
So I'm hoping to see Landry's rotations on point. Zoo's rotations are going to have to be really on point for this too.
Agreed.
Man, it was a good presser today. The vibes feel good.
Good stuff.
Man, I'm so excited for this first round series. Coming up, we're going to be talking a little bit of what maybe the team across the hall can expect, as well as a happy /sad birthday to Marcus Morris.
Okay, so we're back with shavings. And in case you missed it, the Rockets overcame the Thunder once again, going down to the wire.
God damn, that was insane.
In what was I mean, most notably, the longest single second of basketball that was ever played.
It was unreal. I mean, it was such
and not even in the fun way.
Yeah, not the good kind. But so it's interesting, right? Like, you watch this game and you think, well, the Rockets barely beat the Thunder. They're going to get murked by the Lakers. And while there are some things that the Rockets could have done better, the Thunder are kind of a nightmare matchup for the Rockets specifically.
I mean, with the size, for sure. I mean, that's not going to get any easier when they play the Lakers.
Yeah.
I do think that one thing about OKC, like, specifically, is their half-court offense is led by a all-time great point guard.
Yeah, top five all-time.
Who has also,
and he's vindictive.
The reason it took them so many games is, like, these games got down close, and the Thunder are the best team in the clutch.
They're the best clutch team, yeah.
So, you know, you hope if the Rockets can keep it close, they can, you know, they can maybe take a couple games. I don't know.
I still see the Lakers coming through, but if this went to six, that'd be phenomenal. Because, dude, if the Rockets are hitting from outside, it's a nightmare for the Lakers.
Definitely, definitely. And, I mean, James Harden's defense looked so much better tonight.
Yeah, game-saving play.
Yeah, and all season, he's been a great post defender, gets a lot of deflection steals, that sort of thing. So it is pretty, it's an interesting matchup for sure. I hope that it's some good basketball. Honestly, one way or the other, I would be happy to face either one of these teams in the Western Conference Finals.
Oh, it's Clips and Six, either way.
We got to play the team that's in front of us, and I would be happy to play either one. Let's do it.
I would, however, be much happier to play the Rockets.
I don't know that I would.
That's fair. It's going to depend on what they look like in the series. Hope the Lakers still keep looking like shit in the half court. We got to give a happy birthday to Marcus Morris. We're recording this on Monday. What day is it? Wednesday night?
You say Monday?
Dude, quarantine's got me all messed up. Happy birthday, Marcus Morris. He got fined $35,000.
Yes. Previous infractions.
This is like, the reason it was 35K was it was for the hard foul on Luka, which got ball first. Tim Hardaway Jr. didn't get any ball when he hit Paul George in the face. But they said it was 35K in part on the fact that Morris Sr. has been disciplined on several prior occasions for physical altercations on the court. So, is this from regular season stuff when he bounced the ball off the dude's head?
Yeah, this is from regular season
stuff. Or is this from the heel step?
I don't think it's from the heel
step. And they're trying to bullshit it. I think they're trying to bullshit it.
I think that...
F you.
I think that, people online and, maybe some...
The blog boys?
Maybe some people with less interesting stuff to say on sports media are bringing, this conversation.
It's a conspiracy.
So, I don't know. I hope it's not for that. Because if it is, if it's for something that, wasn't even called a foul, that's pretty silly.
I think it partly is.
That's fair.
I think it's lame as hell.
I guess... So... All right, so he currently has two flagrant points, right?
Fouls, yeah. I don't think it's not like license points.
No, it's a point system.
Oh, okay.
It's like the Draymond thing. If he gets another flagrant two, I believe he will be required to sit out a game after.
Huh. I don't see him getting any more flagrant twos.
I mean, I hope not.
I really hope it's not two flagrant ones. Yeah, I think he's going to be... We're also... we don't really know the timeline yet of him leaving,
which is very worrisome.
Seemingly imminent, right?
I
hope it's sooner rather than later, but we'll see what happens. Yeah, we're gonna need good Mook and bad Mook, but a little more of the good Mook. Anything else in shavings?
No.
Definitive.
Definitively like no. We got one thing on our minds, and it's winning game one of round two.
Exactly.
Let's
Friday's episode, we're going to have a recap of the hopeful game one win over the Nuggets. A game two preview too, because that's going to go down on Saturday.
Yes.
I believe, unless something crazy happens. We're going to have a love, marry, quarantine. And, of course, whatever else happens between now and then in Clipperland. If your friends want to listen to some Clip stuff... Tell them iTunes, Apple Podcasts,
Spotify,
Deezer,
Apple Podcasts, Stitcher.
Yeah, it's all a good time. Leave a review. We'll read it on the show. Could be good or bad. We read our 1-star review this week with Carl Tart. Thanks everyone for rocking with us. Things are about to get way more intense. Stock up on your antacids. Have your favorite adult beverage and a mixer or straight if you're really just going for it. I have been positive, Chuck Mockler.
And I am William the Opinion Updike. We appreciate you.